Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Behold, a great tempest arose in the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And they came to him and awaked him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And Jesus saith to them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then rising up, he commanded the winds and the sea, and there came a great calm. There is, the psalmist says, a fear that is eternal, that filial fear that perfects our hope and protects our faith from error and sin. But there is another fear, the root of many worldly anxieties, and that fear and its attendant anxiety are the enemy of our salvation, the enemy of divine love. Against the boat that is against our soul, waves crash, violent winds thrash as we twist to and fro on the uncertain seas of the church in our time, of this moment in our lives. We know where we have been. We know what shores we have left behind, possessions, occasions, companions, a life of sin. We know also where we are going, toward the eternal happiness promised by the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we are nevertheless afraid. Our temptations, new and old, threaten us, as St. Augustine explains. Here a wave of anger, there the frigid winds of pride, and there the scorching gusts of lust, the stress and anxiety of our work and home life. All of these thoughts and cares turn and threaten the safe passage of our soul, but whatever their source, as we look on all sides, our soul, our ship nearly capsized, we feel fear and dread. We have been shipwrecked before. We know what it is to fall to temptation, to succumb to discouragement. Our Lord and Master is with us, we admit, vaguely, but he is asleep. We ask, how could he possibly be asleep with so much noise, with so much chaos, with so much danger? Why will he not act when he sees us in so much uncertainty, in so much peril? St. Augustine sees us cry out to our Lord asleep in the boat of our souls. Lord, we say, everywhere evil men flourish, good men and women, and we ourselves are tempted and discouraged. Is this thy justice? Then, hearing our complaint, those divine eyes open, and the Master of life and death replies in a tone tinged by the sadness of a loving rebuke. My sons and daughters, is this your faith? Did I promise you wealth and prosperity in this life? Did I promise you a life without toil? No, our blessed Lord promised us the cross, but he also promised us the grace to carry it faithfully, to carry it lovingly. The first promise of the Sacred Heart to those who faithfully console him is indeed, I will give them all the graces necessary to their state in life. Why is Jesus asleep? That divine heart is not idle, but ever vigilant over our eternal welfare. It is, as St. Augustine says, not his saving love, but our faltering faith in him that slumbers. Let us then, like the apostles, awaken our blessed Lord, that is to say, awaken our faith in Jesus Christ, the Father of the world to come. The heart cannot desire what the eyes of the soul first do not see. If your faith is faint, the flame of your charity will but flicker. For we must repeat again and again, we can only love what we know. And indeed, what has our Savior Jesus Christ given us to know? In the recesses of time, in the dark days of creation, before the luminaries were set above the heavens, the Father saw in the eternal Word a name that he would bestow, a soul that he would save. This name, this soul, it was yours. He gave to you the light of life, but also the life of divine light. Having fashioned for you a body, he also found for you a path to return to him having fallen. So little though you were, either in years or merely in wisdom, you, so baptized, crossed the Red Sea, yourself made red by his blood, carried in the arms of the new Moses to the shores of salvation. Yet having ascended to new divine heights, Jesus Christ reminded all of us in his favored daughter, Saint Margaret Mary, that we could truly believe that he would give us anything because he had already given us everything. In the pierced side of the new Adam from which Holy Mother Church New Eve is formed, St. Augustine again sees the door by which we enter, we who come to him. What inner sanctum is sealed by that door? What secret is unveiled to the Christians who so enter? Our Savior himself did cry, "Behold the heart which has so loved men that it has spared nothing, even to exhausting and consuming itself, in order to testify its love." When the centurion's lance broke open that ardent furnace of divine love, so that it could be despoiled of the final drops of the precious blood contained therein, the greatest testimony of the desperation of a God to save was revealed in the outpouring of blood and water. What could you not hope for when the divine treasury has been opened and every sacred treasure spent? His love, invincible, demanded that it still be made more tangible, and so his institution of Holy Mass would forever commemorate and make present the very moment that he opened his sacred heart, never to close it again. This is my body. This is the chalice of my blood. On Calvary, they are divided for you. On his altars, they are divided for you, mystically, again and again. Each time a sacred minister rises to the altar, our Lord descends, so that with him you might ascend, so that we might accept the divine plea to let down our guard and at last be united to him. Our worldly cares, the tempest of fear and anxiety, threaten this blessed union. Worldly fear and anxiety are great evils. We do not have to bear them. In a long but luminous passage, our dear St. Francis de Sales says, quote, "Anxiety is the greatest evil that can befall the soul, except for sin itself. Our heart, becoming disturbed and anxious within, loses the strength to maintain the virtues it had acquired and the means to resist the temptations of the enemy. Anxiety arises from an inordinate desire to be delivered from the evil we feel or to acquire the good we hope for. But nonetheless, there is nothing that increases the evil more or which pushes the good further away, says our dear saint, than anxiety and eagerness. Therefore, whenever you desire to be freed from evil or to obtain some good, before all else, settle your mind in repose and tranquility, calming your judgment and will. Then, gently and quietly, pursue your desire, following in normal order the means that are most suitable to the end in question, without hurry, trouble, or anxiety." End quote. What can calm the seas threatening our souls, awakening a lively faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, in his loving promises to us, by the frequent meditation of the riches of his sacred heart so liberally dispensed for us, by our acts of honor and reparation to this same heart, so sorrowfully outraged by the sins of men, and especially those of priests and consecrated souls. His love has been excessive, and therefore our confidence should be just as excessive. Battles there may be, crosses there will certainly be, but in our devotion to honor the Sacred Heart and to repair the crimes committed against it, we will obtain the consolation and graces so often promised to Saint Margaret Mary. Whether you are beginning your 9 consecutive Holy Communions on First Fridays this evening, as our Blessed Lord requested, or nearing their completion, let your heart be stilled by the loving presence of His heart with you on the waters. Invite our Blessed Lord into the abode of your soul to burn away all that displeases Him, to correct all that prevents Him from making of you a perfect saint. He desires that the eyes of our soul fall upon Him alone, not the waves and tumult, not our enemies and their temptations. Our sweet Savior said, "You now indeed have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you. Amen, amen, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, He will give it you. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have distress, but have confidence. I have conquered the world." Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.